we're fighting a good fight of faith. And we don't stop fighting until we go home. And we're in a war, and this is going to be a kick butt day, and we're going to talk about getting back into the fight, putting the shield back up, the shield of faith, holding out the sword of the Spirit, and learning how to use it, knowing your weapons, and actually getting back into the fray. Because if you and I don't get into this fight, we will be casualties of war, and we'll never live the life that God has for us. So I can come up here and be as flaky and ditzy as a blonde grandma can be. Jess, I need your help. I can't get all this stuff off.
Okay, don't get my toe, please.
Okay, sorry. But the point is, you know, all these pieces of warfare weaponry, they're real, and they've been given to me over the years. Isn't that something? Women's conferences, for some reason, when they give me gifts, they give me weapons. I don't know why. The point is that you and I are called to fight the good fight of faith. So I want you to take your Bibles with me, and I want you to go with me to, and just somewhere in that new purse that you gave me for Mother's Day is some glasses. Because now at the ripe old age of 60, I need glasses. I want you to go with me to Timothy. That's all right. I'll clean them, babe. Thanks. You know, that little glue booby glitch or something. I'll use that. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I want you to go with me to chapter 6. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that, Lord, we can be and gather as the women of God, as the daughters of God. And I thank you, Lord, for this family. Because that's what we are, is we are a family. Lord, we come from every nation. We come from every tribe. We are different generations. We are different social economic groups. We are in different marital statuses. Lord, some of us are married. Some of us are single. Some of us are divorced. And some of us are widowed. Lord, some of us have children. Some of us don't. Some of us are grandmothers. Some of us are new moms. Some of us aren't moms yet. Never have been. Lord, we come from everywhere. We are every shape and we are every size, the 300 women that are represented in this room. But Lord, together, because of Jesus Christ and because of our faith in him and because we are bound together by the blood of Jesus as believers, as Christians, we are one family. And we are daughters and we are sisters in the household of faith. So I thank you for the women of God in this house. I thank you for the women that are here today and those that are listening and going to be listening to this online. Father, we are a company of women all across the earth that love you, that are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, that are the daughters of God in the 21st century. We represent our generation. And Lord, as we open the word today, open our hearts. As we open our eyes and our ears, Lord, speak to us and show us things in our own lives. May this word today be relevant to every girl sitting here and everyone listening by the technology of the 21st century. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. Paul writes to the church and says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." An interesting thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul, who's in prison, he's in Rome and he's in prison. He's in prison for the last time. He's going to a Roman sword soon and he's writing these letters and he's writing to Timothy and he says, "Finally, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." One section of the church over here in Ephesus, over here, Timothy, who's the pastor of Ephesus, he writes to him personally and he says, "Timothy, Timothy, my son in the Lord, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold or seize or grab eternal life. and speak the good confession by which you have many witnesses. Why? Because at this point in time, the Christian church, the first century church, was under tremendous persecution. There was all kinds of false doctrine. There was all kinds of heresy. My gosh, Rome was the government of that time, the most heinous government of the world so far. So far, there hasn't been one worse than Rome, not even Hitler, although Hitler was close. And here God burst this first century church, our ancestors, the fathers of faith, in the most difficult time in the history of the world. He burst the church in this time. And they tell us, in the 21st century, 2,000 years later, the exact same thing, that we're in a war, that there are enemies, and that we've got to fight the good fight of faith. We are going to have to lay hold or seize eternal life. And that we're going to have to be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God, whereby you and I may fight the wiles of the devil. And if you and I don't understand that we're in a war, a spiritual war, a war that cannot be seen with the physical eyes, but a war that is more real than any warfare that is going on right now on this planet. If we don't get that, then we're going to think that there's just something wrong with us, there's just something going on, and it's just our bad luck. It's just the way we are. My mom was a little crazy. My husband's got these issues. That's happening over here. And we're going to make excuses in the natural for everything that's going around us, and we're going to miss the very thing that God wants us to take out, and that's the enemy. And God has called it a good fight of faith. That's going to be one of the questions at your table today. What is the good fight of faith, and why does God say it's a good fight? God says it's a good fight because it's the fight that you and I win. He's not made us to lose this. He's made us to win this. But if I'm not savvy, and if I don't understand what's going on in my world, then I can miss everything that's going on, and I can become a victim instead of a warrior that God's called me to be. And girls, that's the bottom line. I remember years ago when Jim and I pastored up in Lake Arrowhead. I was young then. I was in my 30s. My kids were all little. And I remember that we were teaching as young pastors and learning how to teach and learning how to pastor. And I remember just a precious couple, and they are a precious couple still. I remember that she came up to me one day and she said, "Fight, fight, fight. War, war, war. That's all you ever talk about is faith this and faith that. And can't we just all get along and can't we just enjoy life?" And I said, "Yes, of course we can. But if I don't have a foundation of faith that absolutely keeps me grounded and stabilized, then the things that are going to happen in my life are going to overwhelm me because I have an enemy." Well, she got angry and they left the church and they didn't want to hear our way of teaching the Word of God. And I can tell you today, with great sadness in my heart, that this beautiful woman of God today is crippled. She's younger than I am, and she's in a wheelchair. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not saying this to scare you, but I'm telling you, there are enemies of our soul. And the devil doesn't play fair. And we're going to look at our enemy this morning, and we're going to look at what God says for us to do. So having said that, let's go on and read in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's finish that, because I did a parenthesis to go to Timothy, where Timothy is told, fight the good fight of faith. So it's a good fight. Paul writes and says, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents," this is the Amplified, "but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on the whole armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place." Let me read this in the Message Bible. "This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. Be prepared. you're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. You know, I love to play more than anybody. I love to be the ditzy blonde Nana. I love to roll in here and play with you and do the girly thing because I'm an old girly. I'll never stop being a girly. But there is something more important than playing. There's something that is far more serious, and that is that life can be extremely dangerous and extremely serious. Some of you in here are fighting fights for your life right now with disease. Some of you have had diagnosis just recently of terminal cancer. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have lost homes. Some of you have lost things in your life. Some of you are fighting just against your minds, depression. Some of you think you're going crazy. Some of you in here are fighting fights right now that all my ditziness and all my fun isn't going to help you with it all, but this is going to help what you've got going in your life right now. Now, as a church, the Word of God is very, very clear about spiritual wickedness. We live in a natural, corporeal world. You can taste it, you can touch it, you can smell it, you can feel it. It's natural. It has dimension and it has substance. But we know by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we know that the worlds that are were formed by the Word of God. And that God, who is in the invisible realm of the Spirit, spoke and created the heavens and the earth. We know that by faith we are to live, and by faith we are to move and have our beings. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So as Christians, as we come into the kingdom of God, we are coming born again. Jesus Christ brings us out of the kingdom of darkness. He deposits us into the kingdom of God. Now we're in this new kingdom. We're still in the world. Nothing's changed. I still have the same body. I still have the same mind. My life is the same. But on the inside, I've been born again. Old things have passed away. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, everything's become new. Well, where is it new? It's new on the inside. My spirit's been reborn. It's been reconnected to my Father. And now the kingdom of heaven, and now all the resources of heaven and the supernatural is now available to me. And the kingdom of darkness that has held me enslaved no longer has the authority to keep me enslaved. But there is a devil that wants to deceive and kill and destroy me. And if I don't know my rights and I don't know how to fight, then no matter how much I love Jesus, I can have a very miserable life. Are you hearing me? So we got to know who we are, who we're fighting, and what to do in the fight. Because even though you can't see it, taste it, smell it, hear it, or see it, it is more real than I am right now in your physical eyes, right here in the flesh. Because the spirit realm is everywhere around us. And just like our ancestors thought the world was flat because they couldn't see the end of it. Just because we didn't know there were microwaves. Just because we didn't understand sound waves. We didn't understand, you know, technology. I mean, I don't know how I can type something and it can go all the way to the rock 10 miles away, floating through the air in X's and 1's, going off into some spam. I don't know how that works, but because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. It's very real. This is more real than you know and I know. And that's why this is in the Word of God. I'm not trying to get spooky woo-woo on you. I am simply reading the Word of God to you. And God says, there is a fight, you have an enemy, there are wiles of the devil, there are principalities, there are powers, there are sources of darkness, and there are evil beings on this planet, and they will do everything they can to stop the plan of God in your life and in my life. So I need to know three things this morning. I better, number one, enlist in the war. I better, number two, know my enemy and his battle plans. And number three, I better practice my basic training. So I'm going to look at three things this morning with you in this fight. Number one, enlist in the war. What does that mean? That means you can sit in the sidelines like that precious friend I talked to you about that didn't want to hear this, didn't want to get into this, just wanted to be a sweet Christian, live your life, not bothered by anybody or anything. Just like that movie I watched last night, Friendly Persuasion, the Quakers that didn't want to fight in the Civil War, but the Civil War came to them. Whether they wanted to fight or not, the war was now on their doorstep. And the enemy was going to burn their buildings, kill their children, and destroy them if they didn't pick up arms and defend themselves. And you see, it's the same thing today. Whether you want to fight or not, the war has come to you and to me. Therefore, I had better enlist and get serious about being in the army of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why enlist? Because that's who you are. Whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not, you're daughters of the king. The king has an enemy. And the king has enlisted his sons and his daughters to fight with him and to take out the darkness. Because the battle is over the souls of men and women on planet Earth. And the battle is who's going to rule the minds and the hearts of men. Is it going to be Lucifer, the fallen angel, now known as Satan? Or is it going to be the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings who has shed his blood and died for this planet? And as the body of Christ, we are the ambassadors. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light, the city on a hill, Jesus said. And if you and I don't stand up and be who I am supposed to be, the church of the living God, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, unashamed that my King and my God died for me, I am a Christian. I am a woman of God. I don't care what you think of me. I don't care how stupid you think I am, because I know the truth. I know who I am. I know who my God is, and I know what I'm called to. Period. Because, my darlings, why enlist in this battle? Because you are warrior princesses. That's why. Because that's who you are. That's who God's made you to be. There is a battle of the ages going on right now, and it's not over yet. He has already won the battle. He's already won the war. He won it at Calvary's cross. But now, as the church of the living God, you and I are called to enforce his victory in our lives, our family, our church, and our world. Because we have an enemy that is still a terrorist and still out there to kill and to steal and to destroy everything that God has planned for us and for this planet. That's why we enlist. Because that's really who you are. The bottom line of your heart of hearts. You were born for such a time as this. You were born for a cause. You were born to stand up and not lay down. You were born to be a woman of faith and not of fear. You were born of the Spirit of God to carry the kingdom of God on the inside of you. You were born by the Holy Spirit in this century for your generation to stand up and to wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and to hold up the shield of faith, which is your heart of hearts believing God for what has never been done in your life and the life of your family and others. You were born for this. That's why. Until you see yourself like that, you'll be timid and cowardly and doubtful and fearful, and you will be like a leaf in the wind, and you will let Satan play racquetball with your brains throughout your lives. So why enlist? Because if you don't enlist and get serious about this, you will be a casualty of war. That's why. There's a verse in the Message Bible that I love. There's something about a cause, you know? There's something about having a reason to live. There's something about living for something bigger than yourself. There's something about, you know, did you ever think when you were kids, I must be adopted? Did anybody ever think that? I did. I thought, oh, surely I'm not from this family. I think we've all probably had those thoughts. Where did we come from? And as little girls, did you ever dream? All the time. What did you dream about? Prince Charming? Of course. Having children, we played with dolls and babies, right? We were playing life, were we not? That's what children do, is they play life, do they not? Our sons play with fire trucks and weapons, even though we insist they'll never have weapons in this house. They'll make guns out of tinfoil because they're boys. You can't take that out of them. Little girls dress up as princesses, do they not? They dream about Prince Charming. Little girls dream about having children because we're women. You can't take that out of us. That's who God made us to be. And just like our children play life, you and I right now are growing up in the kingdom of God. I'm a child in the kingdom. Next to my father, I'm a child. I know so little. So little. And I am playing heaven right now in my life. Every time I step up, and every time I believe God, and every time I step into faith and I begin to do what God says, I'm practicing ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And God is training me for eternity because I'm a daughter and I'm a warrior. And that's who I am. And on the inside of you, if you search your hearts, there's a whisper on the inside of you and there's a desire on the inside of you. It doesn't matter how old we get. To be beautiful, to be brave, to be noble, to do something significant. Don't you hate yourself when you mess up? Don't you hate that life? I remember doing drugs and sleeping around and being in that life, all the lies. I hated myself. Hated myself. Because I was made for something better than that. I was made for God, as his daughter. So until you step into your destiny, you're never going to be happy. There's a verse, a Psalm, in the Message Bible. It says in Psalm 84, verse 9, look at our shields, glistening in the sun, our faces shining with your gracious anointing. Story of a warrior. And in the Message Bible, it says, as the psalmist is writing to the Lord, he says, oh Lord, look at our shields. Look, Father. Look at our shields. They're glistening in the sun. Father, our faces are shining with your anointing. As we hold up the shield of faith, as we hold up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as we believe and stand on the earth, and we stand against darkness, and we stand against the sin, and we stand against the things that would take us out. Lord, look at us. Are we not your people? And are we not your army? And have you not caused your anointing to be on us to fight the good fight of faith and to wage the warfare of the ages in our generation? You're called to this. And until you do it, until you stand in that place of warrior, in intercession, the 2 o'clock watch, when nobody's up, when I stood those hours as a mother, prayed over my children, and I had the sword of the Spirit, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, the enemy shall not have them. My children are disciples, taught of the Lord. They are obedient to your will, Father. And great is their peace and their undisturbed composure. As I began to take the sword of the Spirit, as I held up the shield of faith, as I stood as an intercessor at the 2 o'clock watch at my house, and I said, Father, see my shield. It's glistening in the sun. For I believe the shield of faith. I believe, Father, that my children shall return from the enemy's land, and they shall come again to their own borders. Father, look at my face. Anoint me for war. And as the enemy did everything he can to take out Jessica, to take out Miranda, to take out Kim, every one of my girls today are serving God in the house of God. As the enemy wanted to take out this ministry and take out our lives, we're still here. See, I may look like a fool to you right now, but I don't care. Because you see, this is real. I'm not in a wheelchair. I could be. I'm not divorced. I could be. Jim and I are not out of the ministry. We could be. But if I didn't make a choice to enlist in the war and get serious about this, I would have been a casualty of war, and I wouldn't be standing here today, right now, with the authority of the kingdom of God on my life to speak this into your lives and say, girls, get in the war. It's who you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are his daughters. He has called you to war. He has called you to stand against the enemy, and it's time to stand up and get up if you've fallen down. Number two, not only do I have to enlist in this war, but I better know my enemy. He's real, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Let me tell you what Satan is not. I better get to my notes. You all right? He is not omniscient. The word omniscient means all-knowing. Only God is all-knowing. God is everywhere. Omniscient. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the beginning of your days, and he knows the end of your days. God knew when you were nothing more than just a seed, an egg in your mother's womb. He knew the moment that sperm hit that egg. He knew the moment that you were created. He knew the moment that you came into this world. He knows the hairs on your head. He's got your days numbered. He has watched over you. He has overarched you with his love and his presence and his protection. He loves you. You belong to him. He knows everything, and you cannot be smarter than God. Satan is only a created cherub. That's all he is. He is not God. What is Satan not? Satan is not omnipotent, all-powerful. My God created the heavens and the earth. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is all-powerful, and there is nothing that is too difficult for God. God can deliver you out of a cold, and God can deliver you out of cervical cancer. God can take the worst situation that you have ever faced, and in moments he can turn it around, just like he did with Joseph in prison. God says he will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says that you are his people, that you are bound to him, you are bone of his bone, Ephesians chapter 5, and you are flesh of his flesh. That's who God is, all-powerful. Satan is not all-powerful. He cannot be everywhere present. He is just a created fallen cherub. What is Satan not? He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. And he is not everywhere present. God is everywhere all at once. Satan can only be one place at one time. So, he is not stronger and greater than you in Christ Jesus. Apart from Christ, we're sheep for the slaughter. No doubt about it. But we're not apart from Christ. We are in Christ Jesus, and everything is under the feet of Jesus Christ because he's the head, we're the body. Therefore, Satan is under my feet. Now look, Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't know this, in the midnight hours, when you hear those noises in your house, when you have those nightmares, and you're frightened, if you don't know this, he will deceive you, and you'll spend your night in fear. If you don't know this, you'll be afraid of the future. If you don't know this, you're going to wonder what's going to happen. If you don't know this, you're going to live your life in fear instead of living your life in faith. Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, chapter 1, verse 15, it's not on the overhead, I do not cease to give thanks for you, and make mention of you in my prayers, Paul writing to the church again at Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If I don't know this, I can't fight. That the eyes of my understanding may be opened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. I want you to look at verse 22. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You've got your Bibles. Go with me to chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 10. We are the body. He's the head. All things are under his feet. They're under my feet. Well, I don't feel like it, Pastor Deborah. You don't know what's coming against me. You don't know what's happening to my family. You don't know how our finances are. You don't know what my kids are doing. No, I don't. But I know what the enemy is doing, and I know what we can do about it. Verse 10 of chapter 3. Paul writes again. He says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The manifold wisdom of God is to be displayed by the church to the powers and principalities in the heavenly places. Is he talking about the good angels? No. He's talking about Satan and his demons. This is not on the overhead. God says that you and I, our lives, warrior princess, intercessor, woman of faith, not fear, woman of patience, woman of love, a meek and a quiet spirit, that woman, that when she stands in the obedience of her God, in the obedience of the word of God, when she stands like that, when she lifts her sword up, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, when my mouth opens and God's word comes out of my mouth, that's the sword of the Spirit. When I do that, when I lift up that shield of faith, which is my faith, when I say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to tolerate this. I believe, Father, your word says that by your stripes I'm healed. Body, come under divine obedience to the word of God. You are healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I begin to do that, I am displaying the manifold wisdom of God to the powers and the principalities. They're watching. Are you hearing me? Your life is not just being lived unobserved. Your life as a child and a daughter of God is fighting a fight of faith for you, your family, your city, your nation, for the unchurched, the unreached. And if we don't get into this war, we are wasting our lives. Wasting them. Worried about things that aren't even going to happen. Distracted with life that isn't going to last for eternity. Angry about nothing. Petty and judgmental over stupid, foolish, childish things. When God says, I've given you the kingdom of God. Will you grow up, daughter? Will you be strong enough to hold the sword and to lift up the shield? Will you stand on the earth and be what I need you to be? Yeah. Girls. Some of you in here, you know what I'm talking about because you live this. Some of you in here think I've lost my mind, but I don't care what you think because this is truth. This is truth. Know your enemy. What does God say about the enemy? He says, number one, John 10:10, he says, a thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give it abundantly. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy and said, fight the good fight of faith. Seize eternal life. That's not carpe diem. Seize the day. That's not what that means. Seize eternal life means lay hold of it. God has it for me, but I've got to want it and I've got to take it. And eternal life is Zoe life. It's the God kind of life. It's the life that begins the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ. It's not the life that begins when you close your eyes in death and open them in heaven. No, eternal life begins the moment you are born of the Spirit of God. And the Zoe life, the God kind of life, life that exists in and by itself, the very power that made everything, the breath of God, begins to come on the inside of us, breathe in our spirit, make us alive, and infuse us with the DNA of God himself. And you become a daughter of God and you've stepped into eternal life. But you got to seize it. You got to seize it. You've got to want it and you've got to go after it because there is a thief who's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and have it abundantly, have it excessively, have it magnificently. Have it so that you are a daughter of God and you stand on the earth as a royal child of God and people know it. and your life lives it. It's an amazing thing to have eternal life, and you carry the very life of God on the inside of you. So, know my enemy. Satan's plan. The thief wants to get his hands into every good thing in your life. In fact, this pickpocket is looking for any opportunity to wiggle his way so deeply into your personal affairs that he can walk off with everything you hold precious and dear. That's not all. When he's finished stealing all of your goods and possessions, he'll take his plans to rob you blind to the next level. He'll create conditions and situations so horrible that you'll see no way to solve the problem, except to sacrifice everything that remains from his previous attacks. The goal of this thief is to totally waste and devastate your life. If nothing stops him, he'll leave you insolvent, flat broke, cleaned out in every area of your life. You'll end up feeling as if you're finished and out of business. Make no mistake, the enemy's ultimate aim is to obliterate you. Jesus' plan? I came that they might have keep and constantly retain a vitality, gusto, vigor, and zest for living that springs up from deep down inside. I come that they might embrace the unrivaled, unequaled, matchless, incomparable, richly loaded, and overflowing life to the ultimate maximum. That's what he's come for. Death, life. What do you want? You're going to have to go for it. The word thief means klepto in the Greek. It means, it's a picture, actually a word picture. It's a picture of a bandit, a pickpocket, a thief that is so artful he will take from you and you won't even know it. He's cunning. He can't help but take what belongs to you. The word to kill means to sacrifice in a religious connotation, to denote the sacrifice of animals. It has nothing to do with murder. But because Jesus uses this word to describe the work of the thief in John 10:10, he's telling us that if the thief hasn't already walked away with everything we hold precious and dear, he will then try to convince us that we need to sacrifice or give up everything he hasn't already taken from us. He's a liar. Health, prosperity, peace, blessings, and dreams. He will come to steal it all and convince you that it's the will of God. He cannot bear the fact that you possess any kind of blessing. Therefore, if he can't steal the good things from your life, he will cunningly convince you to give up everything you possess. He may even try to create a stressful situation that causes you to conclude that your only situation and your only solution is to sacrifice the things that you have dearly loved. Has anybody ever been in that situation where you just back off and you back off and you back off and you back off and you back off until you've backed off so far the only thing left to back off to is death? You ever felt that way? Some of you are in depression. He's stealing your minds, telling you there's no hope, telling you there's no way out, telling you all of these lies. And if you don't enlist in this war and know your enemy, you're going to be a victim instead of being a victor, what God's planned for you to be, a warrior in his kingdom. The battle is in three areas. It's in your mind, it's in our old nature, the flesh, and it's in the worldly systems. The battlefield is in my mind, it is in my old nature, my flesh, and it's in the worldly systems that are under the power of the prince of the air. This world system is under that power. That is why you can lose your possessions. You can lose your homes. That's why we can be in this fallen state right now in recession. That's why, because the world is under these systems. But God's not under these systems. And that's where the supernatural comes in. And that's where when I stand in faith and I defy the world system and I don't get involved in it and I refuse it and I refuse my flesh and I cast down the imaginations that are coming against what God says in my mind, that is when I begin to win the battle and win the war and take back territory that the enemy is trying to steal from me. So what is your enemy doing? He is trying to steal and make you sacrifice, get you to be your own worst enemy. If he can get you to self-condemn, he's gone. He doesn't need to do anything else. You're already doing it. It's in your mind, it's in the flesh, and it's in the world systems. So girls, just some simple things today, last 5 minutes. Are you with me? You're going to have to practice your basic training. What do I do? This is real basic Christianity 101. When you go into the military, and I was a military wife, my first marriage, my husband was ex-husband was in Vietnam. He trained in basic training for 6 months. He had to learn how to fire his weapon. He had to learn how to do these things so he didn't get himself killed when he went off to Nam. You go into the service today, right now, you will go into basic training and you will learn how to come under authority. You will learn what the chain of command is. You will learn the terms of the military. You will learn military life. And you will learn how to take your weapon apart, how to fire your weapon. And you will learn how to use your weapon. So on that battlefield, it will be first nature to you and you will not get yourself killed. You will learn how to put on your armor, how to put on your flak jackets. You will learn how to do these things so you do not die. Am I giving you attention? Say, yes, sir. That's right. When you are in the military, you are not a cutesy little girl. You are now a soldier in the army. You lose your identity. You put on a uniform. You no longer can get yourself into the affairs of the world. You don't belong to the world. You belong to the United States Army if you're in the Army. You belong to the Navy if you're in the Navy. If you're in the Air Force, if you're in the Marines, forget it. You'll never get out. Practice your basic training. What does that mean? It means I got to put on my armor. I got to know what my weapons are and I got to start using them. Put on your armor every day, girls. Ephesians chapter 6, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, girding your waist with the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. God says every day you've got to consciously understand that you belong to me and that you are a daughter. Your shields are up. Your swords are out. Your face is anointed, shining in the sun of righteousness. The breastplate is on you. It is covering your heart. Righteousness. I am righteous. I am God approved. I am God ordained. My sins are forgiven. I am justified just as if I never sinned. Not because I deserve it, but because the Lamb of God on that cross shed his blood, cleansed my sins, and by faith I received that righteousness. It is a position, but it's also a practice. The breastplate of righteousness. Not only am I good, am I now right with God, but now I can do right for God. I am right with God, but I can do right for God. In other words, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to mess up anymore. And when I do mess up, I hate myself, I feel bad. The Spirit of God goes, spanks me. Says, correct that. Don't do that again. Stop that. You're better than that. You belong to me. You're my child. You just misbehaved. You carry my name. Get your act together. You know better. And you get corrected. And you don't do it again. And if you do, you get spanked again until finally it's so painful you just don't want to do it anymore. And the sin is not worth the punishment of the broken heart and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You cannot keep sinning if you're a Christian. He will deal with you. He'll deal with your mouth. He'll deal with your thoughts. He'll deal with your actions. He'll deal with everything about you. And we are constantly under construction. We're not complete and we're not finished. So don't get mad at you and don't get mad at somebody else, because we are all not perfect, under construction, on our way to perfection, and we're not going to reach perfection this side of heaven. But guess what? He's perfect. He's long-suffering. If he's not done with me and he's not done with you, let's just take a chill pill and enjoy each other. And love covers a multitude of sins. All right? It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, you messed up. Okay, get back up and start again. Every day, you can start again. Every hour, if you have to. Listen, as a new Christian, I came out of drugs. I came out of all kinds of weird sex. I wasn't, you know, gay, but had a lot of men in my life. Too many men. Too many wrong choices. And maybe you are gay in here. And you know what? That's not beyond the, you know, weird sex, period. God can clean you. God can cleanse you. God can heal your sexually transmitted diseases. God can take away the stain and the shame. Take away the memories. He can take away the sorrow. He can take away your anger at your own life for wasting those years. He can take away those things that you didn't and you should have done as a mom, as a wife, as a whatever. He can take it all away, wash it, and throw it away in the blood of Jesus and give you a brand new life. Because he did for me, and if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And guess what? To whom much is forgiven, there is much love. I know what I've been forgiven of. I know where I came from. You can't talk me out of Jesus. You can't talk me out of this. You can't talk me out of that. Because I've seen it. I've lived it. I know what it's like. I know. I know where I came from, and I know where he's taken me. When the world says you'll never get out of debt, when the world and your circumstances say those kids will never serve God, when your doctor says you're going to die and you're going to be dead in 4 months, when you have that looming in your mind, put on the helmet of salvation. God. Put it on. The belt of truth. Keeps your pants up so you're not ashamed. They put the belt on because they wore robes. They had robes, and when they had to go to war, they had to wrap through them and around them, and they had a belt, and they cinched their robes in the belt. So their legs and their thighs would be free, and they could do warfare. The belt of truth. The word of the living God. Truth is what God says. Fact is what the world says. Truth overrides fact. Yes, I may have cervical cancer, but the truth is, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Yes. Facts are my children, my son's in jail. That's a fact. But the truth is, my son is a disciple taught of the Lord, obedient to his will. And great is the peace and the undisturbed composure of my son. My son is a tree planted by the rivers of living water. He desires the word of God. He'll not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. My son will not rest and relax where the mocker and the scornful are gathered. My son, the son that God has given me, will delight in the law of God, and by his law he will meditate day and night. And my son will be a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Because that's what God says about my family, about my husband, my son, my daughter, my children, my church, my people, my city. That's what God says. That's the truth. And when Jesus looked at Pilate, and Pilate said, "Who are you?" He said, "I've come to bear witness of the truth." He said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I am. But my kingdom is not of this world. For this reason, I have come to bear witness of the truth. That I am king. That I am God in the flesh. That I am the last Adam, that I'm going to a cross, and I'm going to take the sin of the world on me, and I'm going to be raised on the third day. And as God Almighty, as the last Adam, I will take the keys of death and hell, and I will sit at the right hand of my Father, and I will bring humanity back into restoration with my Father." That is the truth. That's the truth. And that truth overrides every fact on this planet and every evil thing Satan has devised for us, our families, our church, our city, our nation, and this planet. That's the truth. But I got to put on my weapons. I got to put on my weapons. Girls, stay humble, submit to God, resist the devil. Three things. Practice your basic training. Put on your weapons. James 4:6, this is basic Christianity 101, I'm done. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Humble, what is humility? Dependence on God. Pride is independent, selfish desires. When I'm in pride, even though it may look like I'm right, it may look good, it may look like a noble thing, if it's independent, apart from God, if it's self-centered, selfish, and if it's my desire and not God's, it's pride. God says he gives grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. He gives grace to the humble. What is the humble? Dependent on God. Humility, not thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. Not thinking less of myself. Humility is not worm theology. I'm no good. Not thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. Dependence on God. He says, humble yourself. You'll get grace. Submit to God. What does that mean? It means I come under authority to what God says. Resist the devil. What does that mean to resist? It means you stand against him. He comes battering, he comes battering, he comes battering, but you don't stop, you don't give up, you don't give in, you don't quit. You may fall down, you may bleed, you may cry, you may sniffle before God, but you get back up, you put your weapons back on, you put your sword in your hand, you hold your shield up, you put the helmet on, and you get back in the fight, and you stand, and you stand, and you stand, and you stand until the battle is won, and you are still standing, and he is gone. Resist him, and he will flee. Not maybe, he will. But you and I have to resist, which means you got to stand firmly against the devil. Last verse, that's right. Be unbending, unyielding in the way you resist, so that he knows he's up against a serious contender. If you take this kind of stand against him, once you start resisting, he'll flee in terror. Did you get something out of today? Some of you never need to get back in the fight. If you've been out of the fight, I want you to stand up. You've been out of the fight. You put your weapons down for a while. It's all right. Stand up. If you need to get back in the fight, I want you to stand up. Some of you have taken a little R&R. Vacation's over. Okay. You ready to pray with me? I want you to say, Father,
Father,
here I am.
Here I am.
I acknowledge
that I've not been
in the fight that you've called me to. Thank you, Father, that I'm forgiven. And I ask forgiveness. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. And I've not walked in faith in these areas of my life. But Lord, I receive that cleansing right now. And Father, I thank you that you give grace to the humble. Your power to do what your truth demands. Your power when I'm weak. You're strong. When I can't, you can. When I want to quit, you keep going. When I'm tired, you're just getting started. That power, that grace, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it for the battle. Thank you, Father. I put it on now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for giving me the strategies. The grace. that I need to win this battle. So I'm reporting for duty. Thank you, Lord, that you've called me to win. It's a good fight of faith. Thank you.
Amen.